Economics on KyoBiz.
If there's anything we tend to celebrate extensively and correctly and passionately here on the show, is the development of entrepreneurs and entrepreneurship as a whole. For many individuals, we all know what it's like to actually start a business from the ground up, maybe have an innovative idea, or spot a gap in the market and become an adequate service provider to the various companies, entities, and sectors that you spot a gap in. That's exactly what the co-founder and managing director of Wasa Group had identified through the growth and establishment of Wasa. Now, this is a business in itself that plays a critical role within the petrochemical space. In other words, the next time you see a truck on the highway, a tanker that is shown to have a UN code, that's literally that square number written in red that shares a code with you, whether it's 1202 or 1203, helping you understand that there's some kind of liquid, petroleum or gas that is in that vessel. This is just one of the aspects of the business that they run. But today our entrepreneur joins us with a great level of experience, training and development within international organizations like England, like Germany, and even previously having been appointed as the chairperson of the Petroleum and Liquid Fuel Sector Charter Council in South Africa. We're joined now by Sis Nogwanele Konde. Such a pleasure to have you with us, ma'am, and welcome to the show.
Good evening to you, Gugu, and your listeners. Good to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for your time, ma'am. I know we've kept you waiting for a while, but I guess you can tell we have quite robust conversations here on the show and really try to ensure that everybody joins us on board. And that's why we're excited to speak to you, because when I read up on your business and given the interest that I often have within industries like yours, I found it so refreshing that your business has really evolved over the years to be a clear contender and such a solid partner in providing services not only to the public sector but also to us as players in the private sector. So congratulations on that. And I think maybe let's just start there in terms of the foundations of Wasa as a petrochemicals group with interest in logistics and LPG.
Yeah, thank you. Actually, listening to you in the previous interviews was quite interesting. Like, wow.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, on us and how we've evolved as a business, it's been a long journey. We started off really as a startup, and I still see ourselves as a startup. Pure greenfields business, no acquisition or anything like that. Where we just saw, well, I felt that there is a gap in the oil and gas sector, the gap being that at the time you didn't really have operators, that is, people were involved hands-on operating in the industry. You had the BE deals, the big BE deals, you know, like the Tebe type of deal with Shell, the worldwide deal with Engine. And there was no space for people like me in that. Yes, and that's how we started, because I felt that there's an opportunity to come in as an operator and start a business and transform the industry from the bottom up. Yeah. And that's how Wasa started. And that's why actually our name, Wasa, is not an abbreviation. It's a full word, a Swahili word, which means opportunity.
We learn something new every day. Wasa, opportunity. Yeah. And I think this is so important, right? Because not only did you spot the opportunity, but I imagine you also took it bole, slowly, in building the business over time for it to be a diversified player. But what also intrigues me is that you work in a very technical space, and this obviously speaks to the academic accolades, technical training that you have in order to spot the gap in what was then specifically within the petrochemical space. Maybe talk us through that, because as you said, not only challenging as a black female, but also making sure that compliance and safety, which are two big themes in the energy space, have proven to be very critical for you and remain so in your business.
Yeah, definitely. And you can't do that without exposure. That is exposure in the industry. And its workings. but also more importantly, the hands-on experience learning, so that you are able to understand the industry, the business, and apply. Our industry is very rich in history, so to speak. It's a mature industry. It's not a young industry. So you come in as a newcomer. There's a lot of jargon that you don't understand, which actually, if you strip it down to the basic language in business, it's just business. So you shouldn't be intimidated by that. But just try and understand and apply your business knowledge and understanding, of course, learning in the process. So when we started, I had the exposure of being a trading manager back then at Petro SA, and that's where I got to know the industry a bit. And when I left Petro SA for some time, I was unemployed, figuring out what to do. And that's how WASA started, actually. There was no grand plan, but circumstances. But so we started off wholesaling, as in just buying and selling gas at the refinery gate, with no funding. I mean, I had funding only as my house, the bond, really? Of my property. Yes. And then we moved away further down in the value chain, where we started investing in a bottling plant in Kyosan, buying cylinders, branded cylinders. If you see the cream cylinders in the market, like Macro,
yes,
that's us.
Oh, wow.
Yes, and thanks to the NEF at the time, they stepped in and helped us with funding to set up the plant, to acquire our first batch of cylinders. And the rest is history, because then over the years we used that platform to diversify. We diversified into, for example, commodities trading in our industry, that being crude oil trading, refined products like diesel, petrol, jet, illuminating paraffin, and add on the terminals business, which is the owning and operating of terminals, is another business, and then diversified into logistics. So that's how we literally built up the business from zero to where it is now.
Sis Nogwanele, I'm so grateful that you're giving us some insight into how all of this started, right? Because for many of us, we might take a look at some of the recent news flow regarding WASA terminals, and we forget that it's all these various levers and verticals of the business that you had to invest in, that you had to grow in and prove your mettle in, that actually led us to the terminals. And maybe for the benefit of all of us as South Africans who might not be within your industry, I perhaps want to use an analogy, an example of the fact that when next time we see a truck moving petrol that we typically put in our vehicles, or we go onto a flight that has been refueled with jet fuel, that is part of the work that you do. The LPG gas, that's also a critical aspect of your business in terms of the large gas canisters that you've referred to, and logistics in terms of the movement of these chemicals on various highways and byways, in making sure that they're adequately distributed to the necessary filling stations. Where this takes us to now is you've participated in the downstream, but now you also are a partner, or rather recently acquired a 49% stake in, you have a partner that has helped you partner with WASA Terminals. Help contextualize this, because this is a big deal. This is essentially the oil that we talk about coming from international markets, going through a process of being refined, and then finding its way being distributed to all these other sectors that we speak to. But for those who have not been to a terminal or a plant, help us contextualize how significant this is, not only in terms of the size of the deal, but also the operations that are taken care of.
You mean the Lot 100 deal?
Yes, yes, please, ma'am.
The one that was announced last week?
Yes, that's correct.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, well, that deal is a culmination of pretty much all the work we've been doing. it's huge. On many aspects. One, it's huge as a terminal, and we're talking now a terminal that is about 30,000 metric tons in terms of capacity.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of throughput, it's more than that. It's close to 700,000 tons of gas per annum going through that. So it's potentially the biggest on the continent as a terminal so far, but also huge in terms of the transformative effect of it, in the sense that we are women owned, mm-hmm. we are black owned, and you don't have many of such in the industry. As I said last week in the ceremony, I mean, the LPG industry is about 22.8% owned by black women, right?
Okay.
And if you strip Wasa out of that, it's a mere 9%.
Whoa.
So there is a lot that still needs to be done, but this opportunity just opens up that for us, but also for many women along the value chain, because there's a lot. You use the LPG terminal, for example, for importing,
mm-hmm.
which is the entry point of the supply chain. Now, because you no longer have refineries in Durban.
Mm.
So, yeah, so it's the first entry point of supply. So it's a supply chain where it's women participating, not only from the infrastructure side, but also from the supply side. That is aggregation. Aggregation is simply that you import big volumes and then you supply, you break bulk, sort of, so to say. And supply people who can't import, right? Which typically now would be people who don't have the terminal, but also small players that want to get into the space but can't start big. So it's facilitative in that sense as well. Opening up space for new entrants, mm. for women, for black people. Once you have it in, well, even before it gets into the terminal, I mean, there's a lot. You've got vessels that are transporting that LPG from wherever.
Yes.
So it could be from the US, it could be from the Arabian Gulf, it could be from Nigeria, into the port of Durban. At the port, it has to discharge through the berth and into the terminal. In the terminal, it has to be prepared. I mean, it would be different products like propane, butane, LPG, the blending of that.
Gotcha.
And into, but yeah, that's what is involved. And then out of there, loaded into the trucks that you were mentioning just now, marked with those triangles and whatever.
The UN numbers, right? I think I could be an intern.
Yes.
UN numbers with the different codes that actually give you clarity on the type of product in the truck, right?
Yeah, and more importantly is that in just that part, that distribution, that those trucks, you have now an opportunity for a lot of logistics in bulk.
Mm.
Imagine moving 30,000 tons of product by road. You know, that's massive.
Yeah.
But you also have the opportunity on the PEC side, which is now transportation of cylinders.
Mm.
Once that gas is bottled into the cylinder that you use at home, for example, for your heater, that also needs to be transported around. That's a lot. So just as an example, you can see the spin-off for other players in the value chain to come in and provide those services. That's why indirectly, just from Lot 100, you're looking at about 6,000 jobs being created.
Yeah. And this is necessary for South Africa, for an economy like South Africa. Sis Nokwanele, as you're describing this, in my mind, I am also reminded of some of the innovations and investments that have been made in refineries across the continent. Earlier, one of our listeners, Temba, had highlighted and referenced what we see in Nigeria with Dangote and the investments in refineries there. When you take a look at the opportunities that exist within the energy space, across sub-Saharan Africa and the continent at large, how best do you believe we need to unlock more of these to open up more participation for local players to drive growth and employment?
Well, there's still a long way, or it's still a lot more that can be done, that should be done, Google, across the various aspects of our value chain. I've just outlined the value chain for LPG, right? There is for other products similar to LPG, like your diesel, your petrol, upstream. And you mentioned that we downstream, downstream, but with Lot 100 and the East London Terminal, we midstream. But there is upstream in our industry, which is hardly touched by any local companies or BEEs, where you see the likes of Shell, for example. I'm sure you've been following the story
Yes,
in the Karoo, where there's gas
absolutely.
and. And Shell was looking at that. That is huge. That is, I don't know, I can't even quantify it. It's a lot. And we're not there.
And isn't that the concern, right? Is that at some point, fracking, when you refer to the Karoo, for a lot of us who perhaps might not be in the energy space, this is quite literally with heavy machinery drilling down into the ground and hitting essentially lines that have opportunities for us to get natural gases through fracking that can then be used to generate energy. And energy, which is important to mine, to manufacture, to grow the economy, to help build infrastructure. And that helps then build the country through more jobs, through having offices and buildings and radio stations and other spheres of the economy that are able to actually build and enhance economic growth. When it does come to, I guess, explorative opportunities, I know Namibia has been seeing a lot of invested interest regarding exploration from a South African point of view, or again looking at sub-Saharan Africa. Would this be a place that you would want to participate in, or that we can continue to cultivate growth and investment in?
Definitely, it's our vision, an integrated player in the oil and gas space. We've gradually, gravitated towards that, being downstream. Now we midstream with the terminals that we have in East London and in Durban. And the next frontier is upstream, which is the fracking, for example, that you've mentioned.
I hope I
Maybe
explained it
not
correctly. Maybe not quite fracking, but rather exploration, right? Because fracking,
Yeah, no,
unfortunately,
because
has a bad rep.
fracking is the how, is the method
Yes.
or the technology that's used, but the application or the area of the value chain is upstream, which is exploration and production of these resources, like gas, natural gas, that is, like crude oil. So we see ourselves getting to that point of the value chain in the near future.
100%. Well, we appreciate your patience in teaching us all of this, because we know it can get very technical, and gently reminding us that opportunities do exist right across the spectrum, and new methodologies that can be explored. I guess before we let you go, Sis Nogwanele, you have been an entrepreneur, as you've said, through a journey that has had its ups and downs. You've managed to tap into raising the right capital, partnering with the right institutions, and of course seeking opportunities where they exist, but also remaining consistent in them. What's your parting shot for entrepreneurs who might still be, I guess, struggling with scale, with the new frontier of their business? What's your key leadership lesson that you can share with all of us, specifically with entrepreneurs in the country?
Well, there's a lot I can say to this, but in the interest of time, I think one, you have to believe in yourself, and to be patient. Nothing happens overnight, and sometimes you'll feel like you're not going anywhere. Like I have times where I feel like I'm a failure. Like yo, guys, it's like. Because the things that we do are not easy as entrepreneurs, right? Especially if you are independent. It's not easy. You don't have the money, for example, the funds. Maybe all you have is your vision, your dream, and you have to be able to convince your funders or potential investors in your business. Because at that point, well, I guess in my case, it's been about me. It's been about Nokwanele, not so much about Wasa.
Yes.
Because investors, they back the horse.
Yes.
If you're an entrepreneur with not a big brand behind you.
Right.
So you have to invest in yourself. You have to, and never sell yourself short. Don't punch above your weight. That's all I can say. Don't sell yourself. Nothing is too big in my view. And if you understand the value chain, the business, you can literally achieve any level or any scale. All you need is assistance in scaling up through funding. And that's another hard topic for
right.
us. But I normally say, for me, funding is easier. It's not so much of a problem than the opportunity itself. Because if you have a good opportunity that is bankable, that you're able to convince funders on, you'll get the funding.
Mm-hmm.
And so if at all, focus on getting the right opportunities, and then funding will be easier.
It's you've taken us back to the basics, right? Get the foundation in place, put in the necessary systems and processes, just ensure that it works, and through your belief that it's practical and it works, and from there the necessary support will come through. Sis Nokwanele, it's been such a pleasure speaking to you. I can tell you have so much to share, but we are limited in time. I can just imagine even the themes and concepts you can share with us when it comes to STEM engineering and some of the lessons and encouragement for more Black South Africans to enter that space. But we'll definitely continue to follow up on your story and your progress. Congratulations once again on the new partnerships and, of course, opening of the terminal and Lot 100. And onwards and upwards when it comes to your success, ma'am.
Thank you so much, Gugu. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You a wonderful
festive
season.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
The founder and managing director of Wasa. Wasa is a company that's a player in the petrochemical space, also in logistics, as well as currently being a recent partner in the Lot 100 terminal that will come to commercial operation in the last quarter of 2027. To give you some perspective as to how big this deal is, typically you and I would see trucks on the road, or we go into a filling station and you see a truck that would come in to offload petrol for the petrol station, right? And those trucks have these different numbers, and of course we know that they carry fuel. Sometimes it's diesel, sometimes it's petrol. That is part of what Wasa does. But beyond that, they provide the truck. They also now, essentially through the terminal, provide an opportunity for the fuel at a larger scale. Think of it as a huge petrol station. I'm oversimplifying it now. But this is essentially where they refine the Brent crude and various types of liquid and petroleum gas that can be used and distributed into different spaces. So that Brent crude you and I talk about, when it comes to its price, that is imported from various markets and comes from a vessel and is piped into the terminal, it gets processed, it gets refined, as the name actually speaks about. And that is where, in and of itself, the various trucks then line up to ensure that they're able to get whichever type of fuel that is required. Diesel, petrol, paraffin. And then on the roads and through the various trucks and highways and byways we have, it goes to respective spaces, whether it's a petrol station that you and I will actually participate in and pour our petrol as consumers, or maybe it's an airport where you and I will then get onto a flight to take, where they will be fueled by that jet fuel. Or maybe it's some kind of retail center where they need some form of gas to keep the air conditioning cool for our fruits and groceries when we buy them. Or maybe even a hospital that needs some kind of supply of energy and oxygen, or another type of facility that might need that gas to actually power up the electricity or the power supply that they need. So this is a significantly sized business and a clear competitor to many of the current energy companies we have, if you consider the likes of Shell. But of course, they're currently in partnership with BP, specifically when it comes to Augusta, rather, when it comes to one of their terminal operations, Wasa, within East London. So huge, real industrialists. This is essentially the start of how the rest of the economy is able to be sustained through energy, through logistics, and of course through their ambitions and drive in terms of refining, owning and being part of a terminal that participates in refining fuel. My engineering friends, this is where I need you to come through for me. I'm hoping I've been able to describe this theme and topic adequately, and hoping that Sis Nogwanele is also impressed with the overview that I've shared. It's a juggernaut of a business, one that is still growing and evolving, but has obviously shown its competitive performance and its drive. But share your thoughts with us if I've touched on a few themes that might be close to home for you, especially if you happen to be within the engineering, the science, the technology space. Logistics! A few of my friends in logistics, feel free to say hi. We want to hear from you. 063-688-0959 is where you can share your voice notes to. There are quite a few of them that have come through. So Z, Tumza, Manonoza, we definitely want to hear from you. So keep your voice notes coming. In a moment, we're going to take a quick breather as it is 10 minutes to 8 o'clock. But we'll come back with a few interesting conversations we've had so far. And of course, your voice notes. You're listening to Kaya Biz.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.